from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday, May 4th, 2015. Hopefully you all had a fantastic weekend. And boy, was it a busy one in the world of sports, especially on Saturday. Now, on today's Current Sports, we'll talk about the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight and discuss who should the blame be placed upon, I should say, when it comes to the disappointment of Saturday's fight. You don't want to miss that discussion. We'll also talk about a few Michigan State, now former MSU football players who, I tell you what, made their NFL dreams come true in the NFL draft this weekend in Chicago. Also, a certain sharpshooter has been named as the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association, the Kentucky Derby, American Pharoah. Does that horse look good or what? We'll also talk about if American Pharoah can possibly win a Triple Crown, the first time that's ever been done, dating all the way back to 1978, folks. And, of course, each and every Monday, we bring to you weekend winners. All of that, as well as take your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this May 4th. All right, let's start with Spartans in the NFL draft. Michigan State junior cornerback Trey Waynes, of course, a first-team All-Big Ten and second-team All-American selection in 2014, was selected by the Minnesota Vikings in the first round of the 2015 National Football League draft. Michigan State fifth-year senior running back Jeremy Langford, who closed out his collegiate career with a school record 10 straight 100-yard rushing games, he was selected by the Chicago Bears in the fourth round, the 106th pick overall. Michigan State fifth-year senior and 2014 Big Ten Receiver of the Year, Tony Lippett, was selected by the Miami Dolphins in the fifth round. That was pick number 156. And Michigan State fifth-year senior wide receiver Keith Mumphrey was selected by the Houston Texans in the fifth round. That was the 175th overall pick. Salute to all four of those Spartans for making their NFL dreams come true. We'll have more chatter about them later on today's show. Now, after dropping the first two games of the first marquee series of the year, the Detroit Tigers salvaged a split, beating the Kansas City Royals 6-4 at Kauffman Stadium yesterday. Now, Anibal Sanchez threw 7 1/3 innings. He allowed 3 runs on 4 hits with 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. Now, the Tigers begin a 3-game road series against the Chicago White Sox starting tomorrow. All right, the fight of the century, quote-unquote. Floyd Mayweather, he frustrated Manny Pacquiao, piling up enough points to win a unanimous decision in their welterweight title bout on Saturday night. Now, two ringside judges scored the fight 116-112, while the third had it 118-110. Mayweather said that his fight in September against a yet-to-be-determined opponent would be his last, saying, quote, "I'm almost 40 years old now. I've been in the sport 19 years and have been a champion for 18 years. I'm truly blessed." Now, Mayweather is also very rich, getting 60% of the approximate $300 million purse, depending on pay-per-view sales. Now, the live gate alone was more than $70 million, and the bout was expected to easily smash the pay-per-view record of 2.48 million buys, set in 2007, of course, when Floyd Mayweather fought Oscar De La Hoya. We'll have more chatter about the fight in just a sec. At the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, American Pharoah rallied in the stretch to beat Firing Line by a length. Now, jockey Victor Espinoza won his second consecutive Derby a year after being aboard California Chrome and third overall. The Preakness Stakes will take place on May 16th. NBA and NHL playoff action over the weekend in the Eastern Conference semis yesterday. The Atlanta Hawks were beaten by the Washington Wizards 104-98 in Game 1. In the Western Conference semis, the Golden State Warriors, they topped the Memphis Grizzlies 101-86 in Game 1. Tonight, boy, it's going to be some good NBA action, folks. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they battle the Chicago Bulls. In the LA Clippers, they dance with the Houston Rockets. Now, in the NHL playoffs yesterday, Tampa Bay beat Montreal, Chicago over Minnesota, and Anaheim over Calgary. And this news actually broke this morning. Golden State Warrior guard Stephen Curry was named as the NBA's most valuable player. Now, Steph Curry garnered 100 first place votes, excuse me, out of 130. Steph Curry is only the second Warriors player to win the NBA MVP award. The other, of course, Wilt the Steel Chamberlain back in 1959 and 60 with the Philadelphia Warriors at the time. All right, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had not reached victory lane at Talladega Super Speedway in nearly 11 years. Now, he completed a long-time journey home on Sunday. Earnhardt Jr. earned his 24th career victory, defending the front of his draft train for 69 of 188 laps. And certainly, last but not least, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have a clause written into Jameis Winston's rookie contract that prohibits Winston from playing professional baseball. Now, Winston, who had played two seasons of baseball at Florida State, was selected, of course, in the 15th round of the 2012 MLB draft by the Rangers and is eligible, again, to be drafted this year. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. The number to call in is 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. Call in right now. We'll take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. But without further ado, hey, I think it's about that time to start the show, shall we?
American Pharoah on the outside, firing line hanging tough from the back of the pack. It's Frosted Dortmund down toward the rail, 16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
He's a hell of a fighter, and I take my hat off to Manny Pacquiao. I see why he's one of the guys that's at the pinnacle in the sport of boxing.
He didn't do nothing. He always, it's a good fight. I thought I won the fight.
And that is how we start today's current sports. Welcome to the show. As always, I am your man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. We've got a ton to talk about, folks. And as you just heard throughout that montage, whoa, was it a crazy weekend of sports or what? I mean, first off, just to give you a rundown, as you just heard in that montage, not only did you have the NFL draft, and I'm just talking about Saturday here. Let's just talk about Saturday, because Saturday was arguably the biggest day in sports history. You can make that argument, folks. You can certainly make that argument, because not only did you have the conclusion of the NFL draft in Chicago, Illinois, and by the way, hats off to Chi-Town, because I think they did one unbelievable job at hosting the NFL draft, actually the first time in a long time that it has gotten away from actually New York City. And I really love the cool venue that they did it upon. I mean, the weather was absolutely gorgeous for it, too. Actually, my friend Tony, who I went to school with, he attended this year's NFL draft and said it was absolutely insane in the membrane, Al. I mean, it was gorgeous, because you had like this half-covered venue, and the other half, of course, was just outdoors. And it was beautiful. It was just a beautiful day for it, beautiful weekend for it. So hats off to Chi-Town. So not only did you have the conclusion of the NFL draft on Saturday, but of course, And the timing was perfect for this because just about minutes after the NFL draft was done with, about 15 minutes or so, the Kentucky Derby took place. American Pharoah, that's an impressive thoroughbred right there. I mean, but you had the Kentucky Derby going on. That's a huge event in itself. And then, you know, later on that day, you had Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Los Angeles Clippers, Chris Paul banking in one improbable miracle shot off the glass, up and in, a heroic effort. He had a hamstring injury throughout the entire game. I mean, how crazy was that game, right? I mean, I would have paid $100 just to see that. and then you talk about, in the world of baseball, you had the New York Yankees, of course, taking on the Boston Red Sox. And I could go on. I mean, and to conclude the day, you had what was being dubbed as the fight of the century between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it was literally, and the timing couldn't have been perfect because, again, the draft ends, then the Derby starts. Then the Derby ends, then you can watch Game 7 of the NBA playoffs. And then you had baseball going on at the same time. It was just unbelievable. Then you had the fight later on that night. I mean, the timing couldn't have been perfect. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was just a day of sports bonanza. I certainly enjoyed it. I want to invite right now current sports radio engineer Isaac Constance to the show. Isaac, I mean, was not Saturday one of the greatest sports days ever?
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at it, like you said, back to back to back to back, all consecutive events. So, you know, after the Clippers game, we had to run to somebody's apartment to watch the fight. We were watching the draft earlier. Like you said, one of the best sports days in history.
Certainly. It was unbelievable. And you talk about, you know, the fight. And that's what I'm gonna get to right now. That's what we're gonna transition. It's gonna be this show is gonna be filled with a ton of discussion, folks. And my question of the day on today's show, on today's current sports, I wanna know, when it's all said and done, when you look back at it, now that it is all said and done, to be honest with you, I mean, Saturday's in the books now. When we look, you know, 5-10 years down the line at May 2nd, 2015, this huge Saturday in sports, what will you take away? What will be remembered from that incredible day? What will you take away? I'm curious. I'm sure many of you out there were probably glued to your TVs just like I was and probably flipping channels and looking at your smartphone if you were on the run because the weather was gorgeous as well. I mean, I was on the run but still looking at my smartphone to see what was taking place in the respective events. I want to know what you, as a sports fan, casual or diehard, what did you take away from Saturday? No matter what event it was. Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Isaac, I want to ask you, I mean, just to start the discussion, I mean, what do you think is going to be remembered 5 years? Let's go 5 years down the line. When people look back at this incredible day in sports, May 2nd, 2015, what do you think will be remembered? What will you remember?
I'll remember Chris Paul's shot. Because,
gotcha.
I mean, Chris Paul, you know, me being from New Orleans, we never saw him advance further than the second round. So to see him hit that shot, I think this could be the year.
Yeah, and looking at that shot, it was unbelievable too. Because I actually was out at dinner when when that game was going on. And I had no idea how close the game was. And I look at my phone and then, you know, my SportsCenter app pops up and it's like Chris Paul game winner against the Spurs propels, you know, the Los Angeles Clippers to the second round of the NBA playoffs. And I'm sitting there like, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. So, yeah, the shot is unbelievable. For me, I think what I will take away the most out of every venue, I think this will certainly be, now don't quote me on this because last year I said the same thing. I thought the California Chrome was going to be the first Triple Crown winner that we had seen dating back to, again, the last Triple Crown winner back in 1978. If you remember, that was affirmed. An incredible thoroughbred and an incredible horse. This year, I think American Pharaoh, I think this horse is going to do it. I think American Pharaoh is going to win the Triple Crown, folks. I think when we look back at it, I think this will be the jump start to the Triple Crown. Of course, I mean, with American Pharaoh winning the Kentucky Derby, I think we'll look back and say that was the day. That's when American Pharaoh started the run. And I think it's going to be very entertaining, you know, to look and see if this horse can keep it up. Very, very interesting stuff. Let's go to our phone lines real quick. Again, we're taking phone calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Before I expressed and get off of my chest the utter disappointment that I felt, and I'm sure many of you felt out there, about the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight, I'm going to give you guys a chance too. And we actually are going to go to our phone lines right now. Line one, my man Nick from DeWitt. Nick, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
How are you doing, Al?
I'm doing great, my man.
Good. Crazy day Saturday. I don't know about you, but I was up from 11 till about 2 a.m. All I was doing was watching sports.
You sound like me. I'm still wiping the crust out my eyes, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk about two things. One, the Spurs-Clippers game. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but that, in my opinion, that was more exciting than the Manny Mayweather fight.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, anytime you talk about two teams that are great in their own rights, you know, going down to the wire like that, and the way it ended, I mean, Chris Paul, I mean, what a heroic effort from him, right? I would have paid $100 just to see that over the fight. I got to be honest with you, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
I read some statistic that I figured you would want to hear about. This is absolutely crazy to me. Mm. So the Spurs, they won championships in 03, 05, and 14, right?
Right.
The next year in the playoffs, three shots took them out of the playoffs. Derek Fisher's shot, buzzer beater with 0.4 seconds left. Dirk's and one in 2006, and then CP3's shot on Saturday night.
That is very true. How eerie is that, right? And then you can even go back to, you know, the possible championship against the Miami Heat, remember? And you had Ray Allen's three-pointer really ending their game six, possibly closeout. They could have had another championship if it wasn't for that shot. My goodness.
Yep. And I always thought that was an incredible game. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Right, right.
Me and about 19 people got together so we could split the cost of it all.
Okay,
crazy
smart
expensive.
Man. Smart man.
But it went exactly as I expected it to be. You know, they're both out of their prime, and it just seemed to be a money grab fight, and that's what it was. No one was. It didn't seem personal enough. They weren't going at each other's throats. I know Mayweather's a defensive fighter. Mm. And so he's not going to go out and swing hard, but neither of them seem like their hearts were in it terribly. They just seem like they were hyping it up for the sake of the money. And they both got paid, obviously. That's the thing. But I think it's a disappointment for boxing fans.
And Nick, I got to ask you, you know, you being one of the, because I bought the fight as well. I bought it and watched the entire thing as well. And I got to ask you, Nick. You know, knowing, you know, because you just said it, you know, you thought Mayweather would be a typical Floyd Mayweather fight where, you know, he baits a guy throughout an entire 12 rounds, it goes to the judges, and he wins handedly. So why did you buy that fight, Nick?
I bought it. I mean, I can't remember a time where I wasn't watching Mayweather fights. Mm-hmm. I know he's not a popular guy by any means, but I always had a heart out for him. His domestic issues is one thing, but his defense in the ring is absolutely incredible. There's no way around that. Every time Pacquiao had him in the corner, he was able to slip and slide out of there without taking more than a punch or two. I mean, there's no arguing his technique is some of the best all time defensively.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And again, you know, the way this fight was pubbed, I mean, the fight of the century and so on and so forth. I mean, the media did a great job of pubbing this fight and getting all of us aroused for a possible epic fight that we'll all be looking back on to say, hey, I remember when, you know, but that didn't happen. But hey, thanks a lot. Hey, great call. Great call. Appreciate that, Nick.
Thank you, Al. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Again, folks, the number to call, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I want to talk about the fight now, guys, because you know, there were a lot of emotions after this fight took place on Saturday night. And again, as you just heard from Nick, I stayed up just like Nick did, you know, till about 2 a.m. I even after the fight watched all of the post fight coverage that was on ESPN, and I watched the two press conferences with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. And you know, I just want to read some comments because I actually posted a status on my Facebook page that got a lot of headway, got a lot of traction, ladies and gents. And many of you out there decided to weigh in And I want to read a few comments before I go on my rant here because, let's see, this was 17 hours ago. I want to say, so that had to be, this is about, you know, I want to say about like 4 a.m. when I posted this status on Sunday morning. And I said, quote, hate to say it, but rest in peace to the sport of professional boxing. Now, I'm going to get to why I posted that status, but I want to read a few comments here that I found particularly interesting when talking about this fight. Stephanie Grimes says, quote, I didn't watch it at all. No biggie to me. Okay. Willie Watkins says, what about Wilder and Klitschko? Wait, heavyweight boxing is terrible now. So, .. Adam Stevens says, quote, said the same thing after the fight ended last night. Even our generation had to watch Tyson and Ali replays on ESPN Classic to even know what boxing was all about. It's all MMA these days. And it's sad to see a sport with as great a history as boxing come to a screeching halt. Deion Howard said, quote, it just evolved to MMA. It's tougher, grittier, more accessible. So, you know, you're starting to see comments here in favor of MMA and MMA, the new kid on the block, really surpassing boxing because it's a more entertaining sport. Donald says, quote, I have been saying this for the last 5 years. Long live MMA. Bob Every, our great friend of WKR's Current Sports, he's also the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. And Bob says, quote, and Bob is a former boxer himself. That's why he is enshrined in the Hall of Fame at the Lansing Center. Quote, absolutely amazing, everyone. And I mean everyone clamored for this fight. They just had to have it, and now I can't find one happy or satisfied person's reaction to it. Welcome to reality, people. And then I'll read the last two comments in favor of Floyd Mayweather. Quote, what did anyone expect from Floyd? That's his style, and Pac had no offense for his defense. And Dante says this was actually boxing, though. Our generation likes MMA because we just want to see a knockout. That ain't going to happen in a Floyd fight, and that's why he's TBE. So Dante, a big advocate for Floyd Mayweather Jr., who pushed his record to 48-0. Isaac, first, I want to get your reaction. When that fight was said and done, now you told me before we took the air that you actually went to a fight party, your friends gathered, and you guys watched that fight. When it was all said and done, what was your reaction to the fight, my man?
The exact same as yours. Rest in peace to boxing, because that is the most watched boxing match in history. Probably will be the most watched basketball or boxing match in history. And it was boring. It was boring. The Clippers were better. The Kentucky Derby was better. The draft rounds 5 through 7 was better. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, it really was disappointing. And people say that's Floyd's style. That's what you expect. That's boxing. It is a little different, though. Watching classic fights, there was a little bit more bang. There was a little more aggression. And even just seeing them hug after the fight and whatnot, you wanted this intense, you know, rivalry, and we just didn't get it.
Right, right. And I definitely agree with you, man. And the thing is, it depends on the type of lens that you look at this from, folks. Me, and again, that's, you know, I posted the status, rest in peace to professional boxing, because right now, you know, you got two of the biggest names in professional boxing, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. This fight pubbed as the fight of the century. Many people predicting that Manny Pacquiao had a legitimate chance, as myself. I actually predicted a knockout in the 10th round for Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, that didn't happen. But, you know, many people looking at Manny Pacquiao as a legit contender. The reason why this fight was hyped so much, because it was 5 years in the making, Mayweather being undefeated as just more fuel to the fire. Also, Floyd's personality, him sort of embracing, I don't know about it, about you guys out there, but Floyd sort of embraces that whole I am the villain. You know, he loves saying brash comments. I mean, it's, to be honest, marketing 101 wise, it's genius, because it makes you interested in seeing this guy go down. Or some of you guys out there love that whole thing. Some people like the villain. Some people like seeing the guy who's brash and who has a cocky arrogance to him. Some people like seeing that guy succeed. Or some people are just fans of the man himself. You know, him being, especially here in Michigan, he's from Grand Rapids, Michigan, for goodness sake. So for me, the fight had so much hype for some pretty logistical reasons. Legitimate reasons, I should say. Now, at the end of the day, folks, I am a traditional boxing fan. I have been waiting, have been biting for so long to see the sport reach a stage of relevancy where everyone seems to care about it, where the casual sports fan, that's my kind of theme today, you know, the casual sports fan today, where that individual can appreciate and even watch this fight. And that's what this brought to the forefront, folks. Two guys who, you know, one guy who's undefeated, one guy who many people looked as though the undefeated guy dodged for so many years, finally getting in the ring and getting it on. The fact that this fight was hyped so much, and the fact that the pay-per-view numbers are through the roof, and the fact that you had celebrities at the fight, I mean, the most expensive ticket being $350,000. You saw Denzel Washington in the crowd. You saw Tom Brady, Andre Agassi, P. Diddy, Jamie Foxx, who, by the way, butchered the national anthem, if you ask me. But anyway, I mean, you had all of these individuals here ringside because, folks, we too want to see boxing back to some form of relevancy, back in the Mike Tyson days, back to Ali and Frazier. Just a peek of that. We're hoping that boxing gets back. What we saw in the hoopla that we saw on Saturday is full proof of that. But the disappointment that we had after that fight, folks, there is no one but to blame but ourselves. That's who we should blame. We shouldn't be blamed because I feel like people are out there poking the finger at Floyd Mayweather for this one, which is the wrong guy to be doing that. I mean, when have you... Let's look at the history of Floyd Mayweather fights. Floyd Mayweather doesn't knock people out. Floyd Mayweather is a magician in the ring. He's a guy who I think will go down as the best defensive fighter of all time. He'll run away from you and duck and dodge, pick and choose his spots, use that shoulder roll so that at the end of the day, his stats compared to yours, especially when it comes in the category of accuracy, that there is no comparison. You throw more punches, you miss more. I throw less punches, I hit you more, and my stats are better than yours. So if this goes 12, guess what? I'm winning. That's what Floyd Mayweather does. His fights have never been exciting. I can't even name one exciting Floyd Mayweather fight. But this is the reason why we had hope about this one to be different. If you're going to be disappointed, I said, be disappointed in yourself because you had, some people out there had unrealistic expectations concerning Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao for that matter. The other person, if you're going to be disappointed in, that will be a legitimate gripe would be against Manny Pacquiao because honestly, folks, oh man, I felt as though Manny Pacquiao was just happy to be there. I don't know if you guys felt that same vibe, but looking at him in the weigh-in, looking at him, you know, in the press conference, Manny Pacquiao, he's smiling. Heck, even before he came out before the bell rung to begin the fight, what is he doing? He's taking selfies with his trainer, Freddie Roach. I mean, come on, man. Floyd looked more focused. Even in the stare downs, Floyd just looked serious. Manny Pacquiao just looked like a man at the end of the day who was just happy to be there. Happy to collect a check, and happy to represent his country. There was no eye of the tiger with Manny Pacquiao at all. But really, at the end of the day, even though Manny Pacquiao lost the fight, I tell you what, folks, the only real losers in this whole thing are you and I. You know why? Because at the end of the day, Manny Pacquiao is going to take away around $120 million. That's why he had a big smile on his face probably all weekend. That's why when Floyd came over, you know, to embrace him with a hug and a handshake, I mean, you could pretty much almost read Manny's lips when he said, "Yeah, we made a lot of money." I can just that's what I envisioned when I saw Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather embracing each other after that fight. They made a boatload of money, folks. Manny, even though he lost, did he really lose $120 million? That's not losing to me. That's hitting the lottery, folks. And Floyd Mayweather, who actually showed his check on SportsCenter live after the fight. I mean, with the endorsements and all, I mean, I should say with pay-per-view numbers and all that stuff, Floyd would take away around $180 million. So in the end, you and I paying for the fight, which was $100, we're the only losers in this whole thing. We saw a boring fight that put us to sleep. And at the end of the day, we spent $100. I mean, come on, man. And boxing, I mean, and looking at the whole thing, you know, the reason why I said rest in peace to boxing is because at the end of the day, I mean, I wouldn't even want to see a rematch. That fight was so boring and so dull that I wouldn't even want to see a rematch between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. And I really didn't feel as though Manny Pacquiao laid it all out on the line. You heard in his post-game interview with Max Kellerman that he actually thought that he was winning the fight, that he thought he won the fight. Are you kidding me? And I think, Isaac, you talked about how even some of your friends thought that Manny Pacquiao won that fight. I mean, did they have their contacts and glasses in, my man? I mean, what? Are you kidding me? Am I right or wrong? Was that just a clean, dominant win by Floyd Mayweather?
No, that was so obvious. Anybody who thought Manny Pacquiao won that was just so beyond hatred, had such, you know, hatred and
for Floyd,
just disgust
right.
for Floyd, because Floyd destroyed Pacquiao in that fight. He landed more punches, shooting a percentage or hitting a percentage double of Pacquiao's.
I mean,
there's no debate, there's no contest. Pacquiao was extremely disappointed, and this isn't the fight we waited for.
Exactly, and you look at the numbers. I mean, Manny Pacquiao, at the end of the day, I mean, I said if he wanted to win this fight, I mean, he would have to throw double the amount of punches he usually throws. He around 800 or so. He didn't even throw half of that, barely half of that, around 400. He landed about 90% of his punches. That is not going to beat Floyd Mayweather Jr. So, what's the end game? What comes after this now? What, as sports and boxing fans, boxing fans out there, if there's any that still exists, like myself, what do we have to look forward to now? Because at the end of the day now, really, there's nothing. Nothing at all for me. And boxing just isn't as marketable as like it used to be. I think that the lack of a true heavyweight champion, other than Klitschko, because they've held him and his brother, they've held the belt for, I don't know what, like 15 years or so now. I don't think the media has done a great job at pubbing the sport at the end of the day. I mean, whose fault to blame that is? I mean, the blame game can be, pointed left and right, at multiple people. But at the end of the day, boxing just isn't marketed like it used to be. I'm glad that it's now on NBC now, every other week, where they display fighters like that. But still, that has to be pubbed more. I don't know. It's just going to take some time now, because I think after this, Mayweather and Pacquiao cashing on this fight, I mean, there is, for me, nothing to look forward to, at least right now. At least right now, folks. And that was just a big waste of money in my book. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Did you see this, Isaac? Because I actually went to Twitter before the fight started. And Michelle Beadle of ESPN and Rachel Nichols of CNN, and she's also a contributor for Turner Sports, I guess their credentials were yanked because of their harsh criticism that they've had concerning Floyd Mayweather and his domestic violence issues in the past. How petty is that? I think Floyd likes being the villain. Am I right here?
Oh, of course he does.
I mean, goodness.
Yeah, that's what he pays. That's what he gets paid for. He gets paid to be the villain. And it's so easy to dislike the guy.
So easy.
He really does make it easy for us. So I had a hard time not voting him for him to lose. And I did see that, Michelle Beadle and Rachel Nichols being banned. It's just hectic. It's chaotic. I mean,
the
money camp, if you're going to beat women, then you shouldn't be offended when people call you out on it.
Right, exactly. And, it was funny because, Floyd definitely cares, about, I guess, to a certain extent about public perception. And again, he banning Michelle Beadle and Rachel Nichols. What a just Bush League move, if you ask me. And he goes to the podium and he says, yeah, when you guys write your articles now, you must say, I'll be reading all your articles, you must say that Floyd made you eat your words. That's exactly coming from the mouth of Floyd Mayweather Jr. So what did you think about the fight? Did you buy it? Are you disappointed? What's the future of boxing look like? Hey, shoot me a call. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Michigan State Spartans taking in this year's NFL draft. Also, Steph Curry named as the NBA's most valuable player. Did the NBA get that one right? We'll discuss and debate that one. And so much more. Hey, you're listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all about Current Sports TV. That's right. I'll be sitting down with Mike Ingram. He is the head men's basketball coach for Lansing Community College. I tell you what, Mike has done one extraordinary job. He was actually named as the conference's most outstanding coach. How about that? The most outstanding coach award for Mike Ingram. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Mike and talking about the dynamics when it comes to community college basketball and the wars with recruiting and how to stay consistent when it comes to your success and so on and so forth. And also, the kids who may have made a mistake when it comes to their high school careers and, you know, had an off the court issue that caused them to not have that Division I scholarship. Community colleges like LCC provides an opportunity for that talent to be honed and for that kid to have a second chance. So I'll be talking with Mike about that and so much more. You don't want to miss that. Also throughout the week, we'll have Helene St. James, Detroit Free Press, Red Wings beat writer. She'll put a bow on the year. And we'll also be talking about a lot of Tigers and so much and so forth as well. So, again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Just to read one more comment here before we move on, Deion Howard also commented on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and he says, to quote, "I think it's great that people say, oh, everyone expected that from Floyd. If anything, that just shows how well he prepared for the match. You know you're great when your greatness is taken for granted." So he's also in favor of Floyd. And don't get me wrong, I think Floyd Mayweather would go down again as the best defensive fighter to ever step in the ring. Now, I was going through a list, and it was interesting comments from a few boxing analysts after that fight. I was actually watching, I think it was Bernard Hopkins and Teddy Atlas, and they were going back and forth about where does Floyd rank in the history of great boxers, and both of them didn't even have Floyd cracking the top 20 just because of, his career, who he's fought, really no competition out there. Him being the best of his era doesn't necessarily mean that, hey, he would even crack the top 10, let alone the top 20, if you ask me. So I definitely agree with that. Floyd is a great fighter, don't get me wrong, but I just think his overall track record has not truly been tested by legitimate contenders, and that's not his fault. That is not Floyd Mayweather's fault. You know, the fact that there isn't that much competition in boxing for Floyd to fight isn't Floyd's fault at all. It's just at the end of the day, it's just a diluted pool of fighters. And, you know, I just think boxing is trying to recover from that. I think after Tyson, man, the whole sport just kind of took a pretty much a nosedive. So definitely disappointing, though. Definitely disappointing, to say the least. All right, let's talk about a few Spartans that were taken in this weekend's NFL draft. Michigan State junior cornerback, of course, Trey Wayans. He was a first-team All-Big Ten and second-team All-American selection in 2014. He was selected by the Minnesota Vikings in round one last week Thursday in the NFL draft. Michigan State fifth-year senior running back Jeremy Langford, who closed out his collegiate career with a school record, 10 straight 100-yard rushing games. He was selected by the Chicago Bears in the fourth round. Michigan State fifth-year senior in 2014 Big Ten Receiver of the Year, Tony Lippett, was selected by the Miami Dolphins. And Michigan State fifth-year senior Keith Mumphrey was selected by the Houston Texans. Both Lippett and Mumphrey both taken in the fifth round. So interesting stuff, because, you know, when you really look at this with the Spartans, that list of Spartans taken in the NFL draft, first off, from a perception standpoint, it further extends the talent perception at Michigan State now. You know, Michigan State, it's really remarkable just to see how Coach D'Antonio not only is having success on the football field, but seeing that talent pool transition into the higher ranks of the sport itself, that being the NFL. Mark D'Antonio doesn't just grab great talent, but sometimes he turns talent that isn't that highly touted coming out of high school and turns it into 4- and 5-star ability. He's taken 2-star recruits and made them look like golden, you know, like a 5-star recruit. I mean, it's unbelievable what Mark D'Antonio has done year in and year out. This further adds to that overall perception when it comes to the talent pool at Michigan State and when it comes to player development for Mark D'Antonio and his football program. You know, I really think it's intriguing, though, when you look at a few of these locations that some of these Spartans landed. You know, Tony Lippett You know, of course, he was a great receiver for this team throughout his career here at Michigan State. Of course, he certainly shined during his final season here at Michigan State, becoming the receiver that Connor Cook fell in love with. I mean, there were so many Cook to Lippitt, you know, connections, and Lippitt had great hands, great awareness. He's got great size to him. He's lengthy, and he's so athletic. And a lot of people forget that Tony Lippitt, of course, played cornerback when he came to Michigan State at first. He's so versatile. And, you know, now he goes to a Miami team in which he'll be playing with Deion Sims. You know, I was reading a few quotes over the weekend about Lippitt being taken by the Miami Dolphins. And Deion Sims, of course, was a highly touted recruit and you know, coming to Michigan State. And, of course, you know, when he went to the NFL, there were high expectations for him because he has a lot of size to him. He's got great hands. He was a fantastic player when he was here at Michigan State. And Lippitt talked about how, you know, Deion Sims was a real close friend of his. And now they're linking up Miami to play with each other. Now, the thing is, Tony Lippitt will not be playing wide receiver, folks. You know, it's being said that Miami, you know, they drafted him to play at cornerback. They feel as though they have a deeper, I guess you can say, a deeper realm, or I should say pool, when it comes to the wide receiver position, and that's not their need and focus. They don't need Tony Lippitt to play wide receiver. They want him at cornerback. And, you know, it's pretty cool because D'Antonio actually showcased Lippitt playing corner near the end of last year, if you remember. The last few games of the year, of course, in the Cotton Bowl as well, he put Lippitt at corner because, you know, he believes Tony Lippitt can be a great player at that position and also to showcase his abilities a little bit to the upper echelons in the NFL. Going to be interesting to see how he adjusts with that, though, because, you know, Lippitt, you know, he certainly has a great comfort level when it comes to the wide receiver position. You know, I'm looking at his quote after the game, after the draft, he talked about how he watched a lot of film on Richard Sherman because Richard was also a guy who floated between corner and also wide receiver during his years in college as well at Stanford. And now, you know, having, you know, Tony Lippitt in this position now, it's going to be interesting to see if he can make that transition and can keep up with the speed of the wide receivers at the NFL level. Going to be a new position for him. He's going to have to hit the books again and really do a lot of learning and really hit the grindstone. Now, the other player that I'm very intrigued in to see if he can, have some consistent success and earn a permanent slot with the team is going to be Jeremy Langford, running back from Michigan State. Now, he'll be playing along with one of the best running backs in the NFL, that being Matt Forte. We all know Matt Forte is the man when it comes to the backfield out in Chicago, out in Chi-Town. And, you know, there are a few knocks on Langford. You know, looking at Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay break this whole thing down as to the intangibles of how successful Jeremy Langford can be at the NFL level. A few knocks on him are, you know, whether or not he can break tackles. That's one thing with Jeremy Langford. That's something that he didn't, you know, we saw here and there, but he didn't do a great job of at Michigan State. One of the positives is, you know, he has great open field breakaway speed. We saw Langford a few times. You know, when he gets some grass in front of him, he can definitely turn on the jets and make something out of nothing in many regards and many conversations. And probably the biggest thing that I kept seeing pop up from different analysts here and there was whether or not Jeremy Langford can protect the quarterback. Can he pass protect? That's the thing at the end of the day for Jeremy Langford. I mean, many people feeling as though if you put him in that backfield, can he protect that quarterback? And you know, it's something that he was showcased a little bit here and there because, of course, Michigan State does run a pro-style offense, and we got to see Langford in that atmosphere, you know, more than a few times. He wasn't great at it. He can certainly improve on it, but that is going to be something else to also watch for when it comes to Jeremy Langford's success in the NFL. And the other thing is, when looking at it, you know, a few people had questions on why you talk about bouncing around with Tony Lippitt from, you know, becoming starting as a cornerback to a wide receiver. Jeremy Langford certainly having a few struggles before he had that breakout senior year, where, you know, he bounced from receiver to defensive back to eventually running back, and he certainly, you know, didn't get a lot of playing time until, of course, Le'Veon Bell left from this squad to take his talents to the NFL. So there were a few questions on why he bounced around from those positions and what type of player he can be. And, you know, also to look at, I think this was a move made by the Chicago Bears because Matt Forte's contract expires after this year. So can Jeremy Langford fill those shoes if Matt Forte is not re-signed with the Chicago Bears? What did you think about some of the places that the Spartans landed in? And I got to ask you, Isaac, if you had to place your money – on any one of these four players, Trey Waynes, Jeremy Langford, Tony Lippitt, or Keith Mumphrey, who would you say is going to have the best success at the NFL level? Who would you put your money on?
I think Jeremy Langford, without a doubt, because not only is Langford a good fit for that Chicago Bears offense, a good fit for the system, I think he's a lot like Matt Forte in certain aspects, because if you remember, Forte coming into the draft, he was the nation's leading rusher, but there were questions of whether he could protect the quarterback and how he would transition to the NFL. I think Langford has all the tools it takes to be a top-notch running back, and I think he can be a little bit like a Jeremy Hill out of LSU the first few years. I think he can eventually develop into one of the best running backs in the NFL. The reason I don't say Trey Waynes is I do think tackling is an issue with Waynes, and I don't think he's great in zone coverage either, although I think he's great if you put him on an island. So I'm just interested to see how he fits into an NFL scheme where he has to do a little bit more than he had to do at Michigan State.
So do you think him being rated the top corner in this year's NFL draft, do you think this just was the reason why that was because there wasn't a lot of talent. There was a lot of diluted talent when it comes to defensive end in the NFL draft this year?
I think he's got incredible potential because obviously the hardest part of corner is covering the man across from you,
Right.
Getting out of the blocks. He's got very good speed, and he's got a big frame to build on. But if I was a GM or a coach, I would have taken Marcus Peters.
Really? Interesting. I like that take. All right. Another guy that I think that will surprise you. If I had to place my money on somebody, I'm going to actually go with a pick that's not popular. I'm going to go with Michigan State fifth-year senior wide receiver Keith Mumphrey. I love Keith Mumphrey, man. I think, it was really cool watching his career here at Michigan State because Keith is one of those guys I think that just got better and better each and every year he donned a Spartan jersey. Again, he's a fifth-year wide receiver who was selected by the Houston Texans in the fifth round. And, when you look at it, I think, that Keith, at that wide receiver position can compete with pretty much anybody on that Houston Texans roster. And it's pretty cool also because, during this offseason it was announced that Houston had signed quarterback Brian Hoyer to an NFL contract as a quarterback. And now you got a Spartan and Brian Hoyer possibly going to be the starting QB for Houston Texans next year, paired with another Spartan, Keith Mumphrey. I don't know, maybe there's some chemistry there. Who knows? I really like Keith Mumphrey. I think he's got great hands. He's a fantastic and crisp route runner. I think he is going to be the star of this class when it's all said and done. I really like him. I really like him a lot, Isaac. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our phone lines are still open and will be for the next 12 minutes, of course, with the show ending at 2 p.m. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NBA MVP award. Of course, it was announced this morning that Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, was announced as the NBA's most valuable player for this year. Did they get it right? We'll have all of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, May the 4th be with you. That's right, each and every May 4th, folks. It is a yearly tradition for all of these Star Wars fans out there to celebrate the genre. Pretty cool, because it's May 4th. May the Force be with you is the heralded line in Star Wars. Okay, so they dub May the 4th be with you as May the 4th being the unofficial holiday for all Star Wars fans out there. So I had to give a shout out to all the Star Wars fans out there. All right. All right. Welcome back to the show. Again, phone lines are open 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Definitely want to get your take on this one, Isaac, because you are a big NBA guy. You followed throughout the entire year, just like myself here. And it was announced, of course, this morning that Golden State Warrior guard Stephen Curry was named as the NBA's most valuable player. Now, Steph garnered 100 first place votes out of the total of 130. Steph is the only the second Warrior player to win the NBA MVP award, the other being Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain back in 1959 with the Philadelphia Warriors. Did the NBA get it right?
Did they? I think they did. Because Steph Curry, just going off of statistics, was the best player in the NBA this year. I know you can make that debate for Harden because of his really great assist numbers and of, you know, he's had great rebounding numbers, highest or second highest points per game. But Steph Curry did it in less minutes. Steph Curry only averaged 32.7 minutes per game, while James Harden averaged 36.8. And the point I'm making is Curry got his team out ahead before Harden did, and Curry got to sit down the last few minutes of the game. I brought this stat when they were playing the Pelicans in the playoffs. Golden State averages a winning margin of double digits, and when they're at home, that winning margin is extended to 15 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. And Curry also, just some other stats, I mean, these are just mind-boggling. He led the league in free throw percentage, broke his own record for three-point field goals made, led the league in steals, was somewhere around, you know, top five, top six area for points per game, and had a true shooting percentage of, let me find this one for you, because this is amazing, 63.638. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it. Looking at Steph Curry's year, I mean, Isaac, I got to be, yeah, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable year for Steph Curry, not to mention the countless highlight plays that we saw throughout the year. The kid is just so fun to watch. I think he will go down as the greatest shooter of all time. But I really think every year when the NBA dons its Most Valuable Player Award winner, I really think that the NBA has forgotten what that award truly means to me. Because when I look at it, I think of the true essence of the name of the award. The NBA's Most Valuable Player. Which, meaning, this player is the most valued to his respective team out of any other player in the National Basketball Association. Historically, what the NBA has done is they've given the award to the best player on the league's best team. That's historically who they usually give the award to. That's how it's always been. But for me, if you want to really dive into the true essence of what that award means, I would have taken James Harden, my man, because I just think that James Harden did more with less. I think if you take Steph Curry off the Golden State Warriors, that team still makes the playoffs, Isaac. I mean, you talk about Klay Thompson. You talk about Draymond Green, Andrew Bogut, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Sean Livingston. I mean, this team is an impressive team across the board. And Klay Thompson alone, I mean, when you take Steph Curry out the ball game, I mean, Klay Thompson just been balled out. He's balled out of control this entire season. Now, for James Harden, I mean, goodness. I mean, watching James Harden and what he was able to do in the absence of a few key components. Well, I shouldn't say some big components to this team. You know, if you look at it, Terrence Jones sitting out the first half of the season with a nerve injury in one leg. Then center Dwight Howard missing a 23-game stretch in the middle of the schedule with a swollen knee. Point guard Pat Beverly, he was lost for the year with a torn wrist ligament. And for Dontis Matsuyunas, he was the latest to be scratched for good with back pain that might require surgery. All of those injuries. But yet James Harden was still able to put this team on his back and get W after W after W. I don't know, because, you know, we can plug this into real life here, but I don't know if Steph Curry could have done that. I don't know. And that's certainly debatable, because Steph Curry is an unbelievable NBA talent. But to see James Harden do it, if you take James Harden away from that Houston Rockets team, it's hard to argue that the Houston Rockets make the playoffs, Isaac. And I think that the NBA has gotten away from what that award means. The Most Valuable Player. Which player is the most valuable to their respective team? Take Steph Curry off, I think this team still makes the playoffs and can possibly still compete for an NBA championship. That's something I can't say with the Houston Rockets. I would have given it to James Harden.
See, I have a tough time thinking that team will have made the playoffs without Steph Curry, though. When you look at who got the 8 seed, that's Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans. When you look who got the 9 seed, that's Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook. And I don't think Klay Thompson is at that echelon, that upper echelon of either Anthony Davis or Russ Westbrook. So I think you take...
Why is that, though? Because, I mean, the man had 37 points in one quarter, for goodness sake. What else does he have to do?
Oh, he gets hot. But, I mean, on a consistent basis, you think he's as good as Russell Westbrook or Anthony Davis?
I think that Klay Thompson certainly can be that guy. Without it, I mean, we've seen Klay Thompson's just numbers just pop out just like, oh, my goodness. And the thing about Klay Thompson that I think is so interesting, because I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they have the potential of being the best 1-2 guard combo in NBA history. And the reason is because they both can burn you in so many ways. They both can put the ball on the floor. They both have pretty good ball handling skills. They both can shoot the jumper unlike any other tandem I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they're both such offensive scoring juggernauts. And not to mention the fact that Klay Thompson plays a little bit of defense as well. I don't know. I just think that at the end of the day, if you were to take Steph off that roster, it wouldn't have hurt his team worser than if you took James Harden off an already depleted roster. He was so valuable to that Houston Rockets team, and I think he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder now. I can't wait to watch him tonight in this series tonight. It's going to be fun to watch.
I want to see that too, and I'm not sure if you heard, Chris Paul might actually be missing game one.
I heard. So, I did hear about that with that hamstring injury. And how great was he, right?
I know. I'm a little bit upset about that because
that's
the matchup I wanted to see. Because Chris Paul, when he decides to score, I mean, if he wanted, he's kind of that Steve Nash caliber. He could score however much he wanted. He's insane. Yeah.
And he was ridiculously good in that series, too. Isaac, I want to do a quick weekend winners here, folks. It is weekend winners, where each and every Monday we take a look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, we'll quick here, weekend winners segment with only just about a minute left here in the show. It's weekend winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend overall. Now, for me, Isaac, I only have two here. One, of course, is Chris Paul, because I thought CP3 was absolutely amazing. And how about that buzzer-beating win to knock off the defending champion, San Antonio Spurs. Also, the fans of sports in general. I mean, Saturday was such an unbelievable day. But the number one weekend winner for me, the Avengers movie. Age of Ultron. I'm going with Age of Ultron. It was so good, Isaac. I don't know if you saw it, man, but I didn't think it could top the first one, but it actually did, and it grossed in so much money over the weekend. I'm going with Avengers Age of Ultron. I could watch that movie 1,000 times, my man.
I have yet to see it, actually.
Amazing.
I really want to. I mean, I love Robert Downey Jr. He's one of my favorites. But anyway, my weekend winners, you know, one star for Chris Paul. That's an amazing shot. Kudos to him for getting into that round. Also, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
There you go.
Like you said, they got the money at the end of the day.
They got the check, right? Well, there you have a good choice, Isaac. All right. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Hey, folks, take care. Have a fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.